Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress. Oh, you are my portion. You are my hiding place. Oh,
here we are again, boy. That is a good song. I hated to kill the other song, to be honest with you, but you know, again, this is my introduction song, because you know, a lot of times I try to find the messages, you know, to tie in with the songs, and the songs to tie in with the messages. But I happened to stumble across this one. I heard it a few times. I don't know if what year it came out. Was it last year or the year before that, but I have to research that, but it's a good song. But I had another one I wanted to use, so I was kind of torn up between those two. So, anyway, I'm glad that y'all are here. It is Friday night. said Friday night, last night, and on Thursday night Facebook gathering. So I'm getting a little confused because, you know, we're doing Thursday night live on Facebook and we're doing Friday night live here. So, you know, we're using two different platforms. So, you know, we're going to keep going this format until we decide what's going to become of this place. You know, if more people keep joining this and participate of this, then, you know, this could be still something for y'all to have, you know. A few of you, I may mention some things as possibly it may happen come June. I don't know yet, so that's still in God's hands. But here we are, Friday night. I've led to another message, and I hope that you enjoy this message. Again, it's another message that spoke to my heart, and it's something that came basically out of our Bible studies. You know, it didn't come out the one from last night, but one from Thursday before. And as I was teaching that lesson, I started thinking, you know, a lot of times when I have messages on my mind, it starts rolling around like a little marble. You know, I start thinking sometimes ahead of time, you know, well, Lord, is this a message you want me to speak on, or is this just an afterthought? But I started thinking, and I started, you know what, you know, I believe I'm going to go in this direction, and I started piecing this and this and this and this, and before you know it, it turned into a message. So here we go. I'm going to ask you a question, folks, and a lot of you, you know, I always try to get you to go further. I try to get you to think deeper, but I really try to get you to search scriptures, search the Bible, to search the meaning of God, the Christ. You know, this is really my intent, to try to help you understand, learn. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, I am a hard minister. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not going to beat around the bush on topics. If I step on your toes, then hey, it gets flattened and it hurts for a little while, then you move on. But I do preach the truth, and I'm not afraid to speak the truth. But here's something I was thinking about at the start of this message. When we, you and I, follow Jesus, now we claim to be followers of Christ. I do. I hope that you do. Because everybody I talk to, they say they're Christians. I usually sometimes ask them, well, you say you're a Christian, but are you a follower of Christ? I've been doing that lately. And I'm going like it. Huh? What do you mean, a follower? Well, if you are a Christian, you should know what a follower of Jesus is all about. Shouldn't you? But when we follow Jesus, I want you to think hard about this. What does this really mean to us? And what does it say to others who sees us? So when we follow Jesus, my friends, what does this really mean to us? And what does it say to others who see us? Ponder on that. Write it down if you can remember it. Or if not, come back and listen to this later and write it down. But I want you to examine yourself and this question. I want you to think about it long and hard when you got some quiet time sometime later on, tonight, tomorrow, the weekend, or whatever. Just think about it. Just think about it. Yes, I have. I know I have, and I will. You know, I don't like to brag, but yeah, I will brag. I have changed. I had a little meeting with the pastor yesterday of another church, and he said the same thing, and he's been noticing, a lot of other people has been telling him the same thing. That dude's changed. He's radically changed. And thank God for that, you know. So thank God. But that's why it's what me and Chris, you know, y'all know Chris here whenever he happens to show up. We ask the brass tacks questions. We ask questions that we are not afraid to ask. You, my friends, who are listening to this or watching this right now, but those of you who's going to listen to this later on because the audio does get posted on Facebook, what you need to start doing, examine your own heart and ask yourself some questions we're going to be covering tonight. And you need to ask the brass tacks questions. You need to ask the hard questions and be not afraid to ask them to find out if you got some issues and problems. Because I started doing that. I started doing that. So, to answer the first part of the questions, when I said, when we follow Jesus, what does this really mean to us? And what does it say to others who sees us? Okay? So to answer the first part of the questions, are you ready for this? If we are following Jesus, then it means, listen to this carefully, then it means we are meant to echo the nature of Christ's love. And this may sound familiar to a few of you. And what this means, it means we should be demonstrating humility, sacrifice, and service in our approach to others, especially between fellow Christians. And they should see those traits in us. So if you are looking at another brother and sister, even if the non-believers are looking at us, they should see those traits. To see something else, friends, you got a problem. And that's what happened with me. I was, a pastor, minister, preacher, clergy, whatever you want to call it, teacher, assistant pastor, associate pastor, many positions in church. But was I really truly being a real Christian? And the answer was no. Because I was not demonstrating those traits of Christ for others to see. It was about me. Me, me, me. I've been into all sorts of things and listened to all sorts of garbage and this and that. And I used to have a bad little kind of rough cut attitude. But then whenever I took time and started examining my own self, I started to realize that's not who I'm supposed to be. That's not Jesus. I'm nowhere near close to Jesus. Because I was not showing Christ-like traits for other people to see. Now, to answer the second part of that question, what does it say to others who sees us? What does it say to others who sees us? What does it say to others who sees you? You know, friends, look, I'm going to tell you something right off the bat. I had to ponder on this question for a while. I really did when I was writing this. I had to, you know, I never gave that no thought. I never did. And I had to ponder on this question. And I had to ponder and meditate and think and read and, you know, sit here at my desk and drink coffee and not listen to music or sit out on the porch or go do something. But I had to ask myself this question, what does it say to others who sees me or you or us? Because I never, like I said, gave this in much great thought or details about what that statement really meant. The only thing I can tell you in answering these questions, folks, is this. And this is me, and this is what I have learned from my recent experience. Following Jesus means that we must change. Following Jesus means we must change. We're transformed into looking like Jesus being more like him in our ABCs. Okay, so what's ABCs? Glad you ask. Attitudes, behavior, and character. That's your ABCs. That should be your premise. That should be your baseline. You should start asking those brass tacks questions. You should be honest with yourself. Am I portraying Christ for others to see? Friends, we are different for many reasons, because we have decided to walk a path of righteousness rather than a path of self-destruction. So in their eyes, when they're looking at us, they think somehow we have gone nuts, or we fell into a belief of a God who's not real in their eyes. So by us being different, they react different to us. If you're portraying Jesus in a Christ-like manner, they are going to act differently towards you. They will. The Word of God even says so. So if you got your Bible tonight, and our dear friend Lisa, you know, she's doing a great job of this. I love her for that. She's going to be posting our reading scripture. We're going to John. Y'all going to be familiar with this, those of you who attend the Bible studies. John chapter 15, verse 13. Didn't we just do that last week? Yeah, we sure did. John chapter 15, verse 13 says this: greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, we ask you to purge our minds and our hearts and get worldly thoughts and other things that we kind of allowed ourselves to get distracted with today that shouldn't be there. Get it out. Let us be, at this particular moment, open and willing to submit ourselves to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Father, guide our minds and our hearts and have our ears open to the message that we need to hear. And let us be truthful to the answers we're going to ask ourselves in this message. And let us examine ourselves more closely in detail. I was just reading that this morning again in James. James was telling us to examine yourself, you double-minded, because you're being tossed about like waves in the sea. And Father, we hadn't been true with ourselves. I know I hadn't. And this is why I've been asking lately for you to open my eyes. Show me what I need to do and help me do what I need to do. And be more like Jesus and less of this world. I ask of you to bless those who are here tonight, those who choose not to show up. I send invitations out, but they don't come, so I'm not worried about that. You deal with them in your own way. And whatever you got to do, you do. It's in your hands. Bless those who are here tonight. They took time to be here. They could have been doing their own little thing, but they decided to sit there in their chairs and tune into this channel to listen to this message. And I ask of you to love them and let them know that you're with them and you're going to never forsake them. We pray all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And y'all know the title of the message again, my little trusty little bot, The Way of Jesus. You know, I always put titles to my message. I do this for a particular reason, because this is where we're going. That's why the title is leading us into what the message is going to be about. So the title tonight again is The Way of Jesus. Now, if you notice in the opening statement of this message, I gave us some thoughts that we should take time alone to ponder on and why it's so important to follow the way of Jesus. And by us doing so, we should be more like Him in our attitudes, behaviors, and characters versus who we once were. So when you start pondering on this question, and I'm serious about this, friends, you need to take time, whenever you can get time to be alone, away from everything, you need to start asking yourself, Lord, have I been pleasing to you in your eyes and my actions and my attitudes and my behaviors? Have I? Because I don't know, you know, I'm not trying to brag to you folks, but I'm not trying to tell you what to do neither. But, you know, I've been honest with myself in these brutal questions. And I've been willing to hear the answers I need to hear so I can correct those deficiencies. You need to check your attitudes and your behaviors and your character and see if you are lining up with Jesus Christ. Because when we made a decision to follow Jesus, and if we are true, we became something different, as I mentioned a little while ago. And many scriptures in God's Word teaches us to do many things and gives us insights of how we must become in Christ. Other words, to be more like Him and less of ourselves. The reading passages we just went over, I mentioned this in last week's Bible study, and it's often used in reference to those who die or who are willing to die in the service of other people. And friends, as I said that, and as I told y'all, those who was in that lesson and I taught this, and those of you who read this passage, friends, that is a valid interpretation of that passage that we just read and went over. Especially as we know, as Jesus was preparing the disciples for his impending arrest and death. Time was running short for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was fixing to be arrested. So he had a lot of ground to cover. So when you read the Word of God, the same thing for us. That's why he's posing these questions to us to see if we are willing to be what we claim to be. But also, those of you who attended those lessons, I'm going to let you know there are additional applications to that passage. There are additional applications to that teaching that he was teaching in that passage. You see, the content of Jesus' statement about Christian life shows it's not just one's physical body, which is in mind here. It's about us changing what we once were to become more like Him. We also know by the Word of God, God teaches us that Christ has spoken about the needs for Christians to abide in Him, which includes emulating His love most of all. And sadly, I have not been seeing that in a lot of Christians today. Where's the love, folks? Go on social media and find, you'll spot those Christians right off the bat. They're not demonstrating love. They're demonstrating hate, aggravation, discord, causing trouble, getting caught up in things in the world. My God, people, where is the Christ-like love? Where's the love Jesus is talking about? Those of you who's listening to this, you need to examine your heart because, again, this is not the character of Christ. My goodness, it's killing me to see you doing this. I told you I ain't afraid to speak my piece. I'm going to say it just as it is. Many of you are not demonstrating Christ-like love. You don't know what humility is. You hadn't humbled yourself yet. You hadn't decided, said, you know what? Lord, I have not been right with you. I'm sorry, I've been caught up in all this stupidity and this junk. I've not been focused on you. Because we're not abiding in a true vine, folks. We're abiding in something else. So, folks, by following the way of the Master, as in accordance to the reading passage we just read, we should be willing to die for him who has died for us, and if needed, do so for others to show them what his love is really all about. As I said a bit earlier, there are additional applications to this teachings in that passage. So tonight, we're going to cover a few of those that should happen once that we have decided to follow Christ. These things should happen once we have made a decision to follow Jesus. The first thing that should have happened, the first change, is our attitude. If you got a stinking thinking attitude or a stinking thinking problem, or you got a bad attitude and you're claiming to follow Christ, you better change it. You better let him straighten that up. Because I had a bad attitude. Y'all just mentioned how y'all, I changed. My attitude stunk. But the Lord got a hold of me and told me, Jim, this is not what I want in you. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to change. And you may not like it. At first I didn't, but I understand. So what is an attitude? Well, Webster's Dictionary says it's a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. That's the world's view of an attitude. It's what goes on inside your head, how you think about yourself and others, world events, about following him and submitting to his control and his authority and allowing him to transform you inside out. In other words, your attitude has to change. Because if you allow other things to go inside your head, you got the wrong attitude. And why that attitude needs to change? Well, here we go again, folks. The Word of God says so. Look what Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says about this. And yes, this is many of my one favorite verses. I have a lot of them. But this is how I knew I had to change, to be transformed. Because look, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Oh, here we go. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may be discerned what is the will of God. What is good, acceptable, and perfect. That's a tall order. So what are some possible general attitudes you see in people? Here's a few of them here. Joyful. I like that one. Cynical. Critical. Open-hearted. Racist. Embracing of others. See, the list can go on and on and on. It's an inside thought or feeling that is reflected in how we act. And our behaviors are demonstrated. You start paying attention to somebody that you're talking to and their behaviors. You're going to learn a lot about them real quick if you pay special attention. Now, one example of a bad attitude. I'm not proud of this. One example of a bad attitude, my friends, is something that happened to me last week. You see, it appeared that somebody in an 18-wheeler drove across the property to park that rig behind their trailer here in this trailer park. And I saw that truck. And I got hot. Because we've been having problems with the neighbors next to it. They've been crossing back and forth, tearing up the property. Man, I jumped in my car and booked over to that little trailer real quick. Jumped out and started taking pictures. And one guy stuck his head out the door. And I just started hollering at him. Talking about, what were y'all doing or even thinking of by crossing this property? And folks, I was not demonstrating a proper Christ-like attitude. The devil got on me quick. And then the whole family came out. The whole group was out there. Man, I was just like, you know, what did y'all do? And they was trying to say, sir, we didn't come across this property. And I started pointing at the ground. Well, what about these marks here in the ground? Well, I'm sorry for that, but I backed up a little too far. Yes, I did back up there. But we didn't come across it. Look where we drove that tractor trailer through. And I looked, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. I was wrong. I said, I'm sorry. It's my mistake. We're good. And I thought that was the end of it. Come home. And it was about 45 minutes for the start of that Bible study because, you know, I was trying to hurry to get back to do the Bible study. And it took me a lot to get through that study, folks, because that was on my mind about that bad attitude. And the Holy Spirit tore me off that night. You see, I was acting like the world a little bit. I was not demonstrating Christ-like love to those people. I had to humble myself, go before them the following day, had the whole family out, and apologize to all of them. And I told them, I said, look, I am a man of God. I'm supposed to be demonstrating Christ-like attitudes for you and everybody else to see, to let you know that Jesus loves. And my attitude yesterday was not in a Christ-like manner. That's not who I am. And I'm sorry for that. And that shocked the lady. She was like, boom, she's blown away. And she says, you're a minister? And I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And I shouldn't have acted that way towards you. I should have asked you first, hey, did you drive this thing across the yard in a loving way? And if you would have told me no, then that should have been it. And I didn't do that. But God dealt with me hard on that. And I had to swallow my pride and humility to go before them and confess to them. That's what I mean about our attitudes needs to be corrected. It needs to be more like Jesus. So folks, in order to be more like Jesus, our attitudes must change to be more like Him and less of ourselves. Y'all know the scriptures. I must decrease in order for Him to increase. Y'all also know the scriptures that we must die to oneself. Folks, if your attitude's not changing, if you're claiming to follow Christ, but yet you post a bunch of scriptures and you say nice little, neat little things, but yet you still got some kind of worldly attitude or caught up in some sort of nonsense, then you truly are not following Christ. You're following something else. And it may be up here that has to change. But it has to change through the help of the Holy Spirit in order for this to change. The second change that needs to happen of those who are following Christ, and I just mentioned that, humility. That's a hard pill to swallow. True humility. It doesn't matter who's right or wrong. It doesn't matter what someone else may say, and you might say, you know what, I disagree with you. I don't like that. I don't like the article you're using. I don't like what you're saying. I said, but I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to let you know what I got to say about that. You know what? Forget about it. You just need to humble yourself and be more like Jesus. And sometimes what that means, zip it. Stop the typing. Stop the yak yak. Show true humility, which I had to learn the hard way that day. Look what Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says about that. It says, do nothing. Pay attention to that. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. But in humility, pay attention to this, friends. That's the Word of God saying this. This is not Pastor Jim saying this. But in humility, count others. Oh, what do you mean others? That's right, folks. Count others more significant than yourselves. In other words, you place them above you. That's another hard pill to swallow, isn't it? I don't think so, brother. Well, if you're not willing to do that, then you need to go take a step back and go sit down somewhere and shut up. Because if you're going to follow Christ, you better get used to being different. So what kind of humility? Remember the chapter in the Bible when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples? That's John chapter 13, yeah. He did something profoundly humbled. He was a master. The Messiah. God himself. Lowered himself down to a servant to wash stinking feet. Now, if God can do that, then I better learn how to be more humble. Folks, Christian love is not meant to be saved up and exhibited only whenever it suits you. We must be living a truly humbled life in order to better serve Him and to show His love with true humility for us to change. And truly in this stage, we see that by loving others, by laying down one's life, means abiding in the love of Christ in a consistent moment-by-moment approach of how we act. When Jesus, our Creator and Maker of all things, majestic, mighty God, who became a baby, becomes a servant, He humbles Himself, and this sets the example of what we also must become. This is how God wants us to interact with each other and also about our individual lives with other attitudes. This is one. Let me tell you something straight right now. This is one that should be revisited on a regular basis. We should be visiting this on a regular basis in our walk with Christ. Because what that does, like it did me, and recently, and changes that y'all saw me become in this place, it makes us take a hard look at ourselves. I mean a hard, serious look. And we should ask, is my attitude like a Jesus attitude? Is it? Or is it something else? Have you ever asked yourself that question lately? Is my attitude like Jesus, or is it something else? Is there humility in the way that I think or feel? Or am I letting negative attitudes rule over me? So the attitude question is a big one for us. The attitude question is a big one for us. And it's good to reflect on it. It's a challenge for all of us to face. It's a challenge for all of us here tonight and those who's listening. It's a challenge for us to face. And if you're like me, and if you are real, then your attitude needs adjusting. If it's not all that it should be, it needs adjusting. And folks, that drives me to Jesus. That drives me to Jesus, and I'm not worried about anything else. I don't want to hear nothing else. I don't want to be involved in nothing else. I don't want to see nothing else. I don't want to see what's going on in this world, because this is not my problem to worry about. God has all these things under control. My thing should be, my attitude in my heart should be right to show someone the love of Jesus Christ, so hopefully they can get saved before it's too late. To save that one sheep. You need to leave that 99, but to go after that one. And if you're not focused on showing love to others and demonstrating Christ-likeness to others and showing them that Jesus loves them, but you're involved in other things, then friends, you got a problem. You got a problem. When I started to see that my attitude had to change, it drove me closer to the Lord. And I realized then I started focusing more on heavenly things. And me and my wife prayed a prayer every morning. Lord, today, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but today, keep our hearts and our minds focused on the things of heaven and not of this world. Because when I go to Jesus, this is what I say, Jesus, I want to be like you in my thoughts and in my feelings. Please change me. Change me on the inside so I can become more like you in my attitude with true humility and be more like you and less of myself, please. I pray that every day. And I seek that every day. And folks, when you start doing it the right way, you're going to change. And you're going to see some changes. Y'all just said y'all saw changes in me. So don't tell me that don't work. Because it does. The third change is behavior. Whew. That's right, folks. The third change is behavior. For one, that the world says, behavior is a manner of conducting oneself. That's what the world says. But let's see what the Bible says about behavior. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Wow. Y'all thought that was going to be a long-winded verse, didn't you? Folks. That's what the Bible's saying about your behavior. Look, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Oh. If you're getting caught up in things in this world, you're acting in the flesh, therefore you're not pleasing God. Therefore, you are innocent. Let that sink in. This is plain as day, folks. There is no ifs and buts about this. Being in the flesh means that you and I are being unregenerative and sinful. We are outside the normal behavior of Christ. We're back into the flesh. People in that state, I'm sorry, but you cannot please God. This is why our behavior must change, has to change. And the only one who could help us change is Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit himself. And if this is done without Christ, then we who are in the flesh cannot please God. And once again, we need to be true to our feelings and ourselves and pose this question to ourselves. Does my behavior need to change? Be true. Don't try, oh, I'm a Christian, Jimbo. Yeah, I serve Christ. I read the Bible. I pray. Well, lately I've been watching some of y'all and seeing things on the internet and things like that. Your behavior is not demonstrating Christ-likeness. It's demonstrating something else. This is why the world itself and people in this world, including Christians, are in trouble. We're not willing to change our behavior or attitudes. We're not willing to truly humble ourselves before God and really change. We're just taking a little of that Christianity, mixing in with a little bit of our real lives, and we're taking it as status quo. Instead of doing something radically in your life and radically allow yourself to be transformed and changed, to fully follow Jesus, to follow the way of the Master, and say, you know what? Okay, today is the time to change. And if I have to make some more radical changes, then so be it. And folks, if we're not being true to ourselves, to pose this question to ourselves, asking ourselves, are my thoughts and feelings affecting the way I live? Then folks, I'm going to tell you something right now. That does not portray Jesus Christ. That's the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts. So the next question we should ask ourselves in this manner, okay, how am I living? Oh, no, you didn't have to go there neither, huh? Yes, I am. How am I living? And we should think about Jesus' behavior and how he lived. The fruit of the Spirit describes what Jesus is like, how he behaved. Let's look at just three of those fruits, just three of the fruits of the Spirit to keep this in focus for us, folks. Let's just look at three fruits of the Spirit to keep this in focus. Now, that whole passage says a lot, but I'm just going to hit on three. The first fruit of the Spirit is listed in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 26. The first fruit is love. That's the first one in that passage. See, folks, Jesus' entire ministry was characterized by his love. That's right, his entire ministry was characterized by his love. And the greatest demonstration ever of that love was the sacrifice he made for all of us. That's right, the greatest demonstration of that love was the sacrifice he made for all of us. Jesus, who was one with the Father, sacrificed his heavenly power and glory to become human, being subject himself to a painful, suffering death for the sake of mankind. Wow. Jesus emphasized the fruit of love at his last meal, which is often referred to as the Last Supper, with his disciples. Now notice in his words, and this is going to sound familiar to some of you too, notice in his words in the Bible, and this is taken from the book of John, and look what he's saying. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, hey, doesn't that sound familiar? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you. And greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Woo! Friends, Jesus just did not lay down his life for his friends. He was serving as the supreme example of love. The second fruit that Jesus was demonstrating that we should be following is listed of the Holy Spirit is joy. Joy. Look what Hebrews 2:10 has to say about that. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. You see, folks, Christ was filled with joy at the prospect of bringing many sons to glory. You and I. You want to know more? Look what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says about this. It further tells us that looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for whom the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Woo! Amen. And amazingly, just before he suffered, instead of thinking of his own upcoming cruel suffering, yeah, folks, he knew it was coming. His hour was getting close. And yet, during all that time, he still reminded his disciples that his joy would remain in you. His joy will remain in us. Wow. And that your joy may be full. If you want to look at the passage, it's John 15:11. Again, we covered that in our Bible studies. But see, folks, Jesus was reminding them, even in John 16:33. Look what he said here. He said, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, it's a fact. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So even in the Garden of Gethsemane, or Gethsemane, however you pronounce it, some folks say it different ways. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus himself had a moment when the suffering that was before him became very real. And he was saying, God, Father, if you're willing to take this cup from me, you see, he had a moment and he asked God, will you take this cup from me? Now, what was Jesus asking his Father to do? What was he asking his Father to do? basically, bottom line, he was asking him to keep him from the suffering. He was asking the Father, keep me from the suffering, please. But folks, listen to this carefully. This cup he was talking about is about this path, this direction. His path was to go through immense suffering and agony, more than any human being had known, more than we can fathom, more than we can imagine the horror. But his path was to the cross. He became sins for us. And Jesus was in the garden for some time. How long? Look, I'm not sure. How long that he toiled with that request? How long he was in agony? We know that he was dripping great sweats of blood when toiling with that, when asking that question, when praying to the Father. We know. But take this from me, folks. Take this from me. He was willing to lay down his life for us. It's not how he may have been resisting the suffering soon to come. It's not about that. It's about where he landed. It's about where he landed. So where did he land? Simple. He ended up saying this, not my will, but yours be done. We need to change. It's not about our will. It's about what his will needs to be done. But when he said that, he humbled himself, his behavior changed, and his attitude changed. He submitted to the Father's will. Are you willing to die for Christ, to do the same to yourself, to die to yourself, and be changed in your thinking, your behaviors, your attitudes? Are you? After tonight, whenever y'all do it, if you do do it, hey, I'm not telling you what to do. But you better go ask those brass tacks questions. So he submitted to the Father's will. He trusted the Father's goodness. He trusted the Father's plan. So then he submitted. And lay down his life. And we know this to be true, folks. Even after his resurrection, the first words Matthew records, the resurrected Jesus saying, rejoice. Rejoice. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this tonight. You want to change? You want to stop all your silliness and your nonsense and getting caught up in other things? You want to be transformed? You want to experience his glory, abundant life, true happiness, peace? and change your ABCs. You want to become like Jesus in our ABCs? Then it's more than knowing what Jesus is like. It's seeking by His grace to become like Him. And folks, your new behaviors will update the old data on your old reputation. You can overwrite the way you have been perceived by learning to live in a new way. Be radical. Change. Change. Folks are watching you. They're paying attention to your actions. And some that I've seen is really not acting Christ-like. Because I was not doing it, and I had to change. I had to become radical. So learning to live in a new way means becoming more like Jesus. Becoming like Jesus means growing up to be like Him and His character. His character is described in the fruit of the Spirit. And this is what we started with in this message. The way we become like Jesus in our ABCs, it starts with our prayers. Yes, right, we pray. Prayer, folks, is more about prayer is about more than asking God for things. It is. People think they're praying and start asking God for a million different things. That's not what prayer is all about. It's more about asking Him to lead us. I found this quote. I don't know if y'all ever heard of this person. His name is called Eugene Peterson. And I like this quote that he said. He said, prayers are tools not for doing or getting, but for becoming and being. In other words, I'm turning it around for being and becoming. I'm gonna flip that. That's what prayers is all about. To pray to Him to change me. I don't want to be like how I've been the last several months or years. I don't want that no more. Lord, change me. Change my attitudes. Change my behaviors. And if you have to humble me to do it, it hurts. Boy, but I'm sure glad that God said, Jim, now is the time for you to change, my son. You've been going at it the wrong way. So, folks, this is all about spending time with God in His presence. Soaking and being shaped into His image. Not ours. It's being shaped by His Word. Not ours. Worshiping His holy name in reverence. Confessing the ways we are not like Jesus and asking God Himself to help us become more like Jesus. What it boils down to, it's a willing to lay down your life for Him. And yes, it doesn't happen overnight. Let yourself die to Him and seek His face. And as we spend more time in His presence, the more that you humble yourself, the more that you submit to His authority, the more that you allow Him to change, you start to become more like Him. One final thought. Let us become more like the one we claim to follow. And may we shine, as Jesus said we would, like lights on a hill, lighting the path for people to see Jesus so that they might choose to follow him one day. Amen. Let's pray.